This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come. This is the Eat, Sleep, Eat, Repeat podcast, your weekly AEW reviewing breakdown. Introducing first the most electrifying host in all of professional wrestling podcasts, Charlie.
Let's go, brother.
And I'm the other half of our hosting duo. They call me the Duke. They call me the Digital Phantom. I am the Duke of Derbs, also known as Garrett. Yo.
Hey there, buddy.
How's it going there, people?
Hey, man, right, we had wrestling
sucked this week, bro. I'm sorry.
I'm burying it.
I'm burying the wrestling community. You sucked this week. You gave me nothing interesting.
I'm burying right. Instantly. Yeah, dude. No, we had three shows plus our two darks, and yeah, man, this was.
You know what I would say? Actually, you know what this week was? It was kind of slapped together by a lot of the companies. I feel like, you know.
I gotta say though,
Penta versus Punk was on Twitter. Literally, Punk was just probably like bored, trying to figure out if he was gonna be on the show this week. You know, whether he should take the time to fly at wherever the hell and say, "Oh,
though,
who are we fighting?" You know, like,
yeah. And I loved the idea of Rampage at 7. I just think it flowed really well. Like, that is a good time slot for Rampage.
Maybe you start Rampage at 7, but then it ends at 10 or not 10. Sorry, at 9. Sorry, at 9. I should say. At 9. Well, no, 10. I don't know. Fuck it. 3-hour Rampage. Let's go.
Fuck it. 3 hours. Right. That's what Raw said.
All right. Anyway, send it in. No, but anyway, yeah, I don't know. Like, there was some good stuff this week. There was a lot of really fun matches. The main events were pretty solid all around, for the most part, except for unlike Dark, because Dark sucked. I'm going to bury Dark pretty hard this week.
Dark just felt like it had just no point within the week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At this point, yeah.
So,
so let's get right into a few quarters of business out of the way at the top of the show. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at Bane Duke. That's BaneDuke. And you can follow Charlie at Charlie with an X instead of an A. You can also make sure you follow and subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this, be that Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. And make sure you follow the Soki Entertainment YouTube channel. We still haven't posted anything about Moon Knight. That's my fault. I'm actually like an episode behind right now, I think. It's not that I don't have any interest in the show. I don't know. I don't take time to sit down
like,
and watch things.
I mean, the good thing is, considering everyone got those 4-episode phasers, I mean, I don't, what are they called? Screeners? And so, at least after this week, we'll be caught up with everyone else that's seen it, so.
I suppose, yeah. So, I'll definitely be tuning in probably later tonight, unless I decide to do something else. Either way, we will be eventually reviewing Moon Knight, but definitely. I'm excited. The thing I'm probably going to watch tonight is the Batman, obviously.
Oh my God, that's right.
So I'll probably be watching. But anyway.
Oh, you got to let me know what you think of that.
Absolutely. I'm so excited. I've heard so many good things about it. So I'm just excited to see it finally. Back to wrestling stuff. That's pretty much. I mean, I don't know, man. Sometimes it just feels a little off like it did this week. And like, I guess. Let's start off with the positive stuff, the stuff that we liked. That's what we like to start off with here. And for me this week, it took all the way till the end of the week to get to my favorite, but it's not on purpose. Like, I had a favorite match, obviously, going throughout the week. But Dalton Castle versus Jonathan Gresham for the Ring of Honor World title. So actually, I expected this to kind of just be like a much of what it was, which was very like, you know, a lot of heavy striking, a lot of sort of New Japan-esque sort of stuff. I like to reference that a lot. Just like the heavy striking, the strong style, whatever you want to call it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But this actually was a lot more technical than I realized. Like, okay, Dalton Castle, you're a really clean technical wrestler. Not that I didn't think you could be, but it didn't seem like your style, you know? So that was a surprise, and I really liked that. And it got super, really athletic. Like, they were both, like, I forgot from watching the main event of Ring of Honor Supercard. how athletic Jonathan Gresham actually is. He's basically a luchador at his size, which is kind of crazy, you know, like, which is nuts.
He is just so enjoyable, man.
This is kind of a cool match for AEW to have on actually. This is on random TV. If you just happen to be scrolling through the channels when Battle for the Belts was online, or Battle of the Belts, what was the actual?
Yeah, Battle of the Belts.
Battle of the Belts, the belt battle, the belt battle royale. If you just happen to be flipping that on, like, that match would make me stop and see, like, what the hell is going on, because there's some crazy stuff going on. So I thought that was actually a really cool match to have on TV in and of itself. I don't know. And it was also like, it didn't feel like it was too long. I mean, it could have been longer, but it felt like, I don't know how long exactly the match was. I didn't write it down, but I don't know. I would guess like somewhere a little like south of 20 minutes. Like, I'm not sure exactly how it would probably between 10 and 20, I would guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I
gotta say, I think I'm with you in the fact of, I'm curious how many people for the first time watched Dalton Castle wrestle, because
it was only my second time watching him.
This was such an enjoyable match because Gresham is just a technical wizard, and his entire getup just screams like star, the way his entrance, everything about it. And he takes full advantage of it. And I can't wait to see what they go next with him. But Dalton Castle, I actually would prefer if they brought him to AEW and not ROH. I think this gimmick is something fresh. He keeps inventing it, like reinventing it over the years, like a little bit here and there. And the word of mouth has been so fantastic from Dalton Castle's performance. And I just can't help but wonder what the people who've never seen him before thought of this. And they're like, there is a spot in wrestling for him. And there's a spot in AEW for how he wrestles. Whether it's at the top of the card, like this was for the ROH World Championship. And you never for once felt like he was weird out there. Like he didn't belong. And yeah, I mean, overall, the match was really good. I feel like we should touch what happens after the match since it's kind of in the same segment.
Yes.
And this was a much better presentation of Satnam Singh than we got on Wednesday. And we'll talk about that as we're talking about Dynamite. But this actually made Satnam Singh just feel like a fucking beast. And I think it sets up, I mean, look, we're going to get Jay Lethal heel versus Jonathan Gresham. And I got to applaud him for making up for what they did on Wednesday. Cause it was a little bit,
I'm so excited for
it. It was straight up getting destroyed on Wednesday after the fact. But I think this was a much, you know, 3 days apart, 2 days technically. This came off great with Samoa Joe with the lead pipe. So yeah, I mean, anything else from the aftermath that you want to touch on?
I'm excited to have, Jay Lethal. I like that there's going to be a little bit between Joe too. Like I like that obviously it's going to be Joe versus this new guy, obviously, but I mean, you know,
well, talk about getting thrown, man. If you wrestle with Samoa Joe and you look good, that's going to be some good things for your career.
Absolutely. I don't know if it'll be for the title. I don't know if you're going to throw a title on a guy like that right immediately. I don't know if that, but Ring of Honor, it's a Ring of Honor title. So the way AEW is treating the Ring of Honor titles is like they're the other titles that no one really, you know, like there are only certain people. The only one they really care about is the world title over there, you know, like.
And you can feel that with Gresham, man.
Except for Joe, who wants that TV title for some reason. I mean, hey, it makes sense.
Yeah, hey, more power to you, Joe.
You know, whatever, but.
Yeah, we'll hop into my favorite this week. I mean, there are so many we can pick from. There's so much good stuff, but to me, it's the match that we've been kind of waiting for. It's been about 5 weeks in the making, and you're like, oh god, I know there's a couple of those right here that this could be. The match we're picking is Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland versus Powerhouse Hobbs and Ricky Starks. This was so much fun, Garrett. I think all four of the guys involved are stars. I would love if a year from now, if we're talking about these guys at the top of the card, whether it's the TNT title, whether it's the world title, Ricky Stark should be there. Hobbs should be there. Swerve, Keith Lee. They are so fucking good. I mean, Swerve, he had some insane spots. I like to bring up that every time Swerve enters the, like, comes out to the ring, the energy changes.
Oh, absolutely.
That is megastar quality. To be able to have that power every single time. Ricky Starks with the hometown hero pop.
Yes.
Oh man, I love this so much, Garrett. And yeah. then I even mentioned the Keith Lee and Powerhouse Hobbs stuff together. This was just beautiful wrestling. This is a storyline I love. These are four wrestlers that I'm really into. Dare I say it? I think Swerve might be my favorite wrestler in AEW. Like he's climbing faster and faster. It's pretty
close for me as well.
And I mean, Ricky Stark's one of our pillars. I mean, it's just incredible, man. What about you? What else you got from this?
There was a lot of hard-hitting action on all the shows this week. It was just like, I feel like that's a part of the style that, Tony Khan likes as a wrestling promoter, you know, is, I guess we can call him.
Yeah,
that,
with the way that main event on Dynamite was.
Woo!
Jesus Christ.
I mean, if you think about it, technically on the show, there was a segment in between, but these are back-to-back matches. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so just lots of hitting each other, unless you're women. But anyway.
I didn't really touch the finish, but the finish was actually really well executed because I think Team Taz needed a win. And I know there's some people up in arms about Keith Lee being the one getting pinned. However, it was Taz that trips up Lee. Hobbs then plants Lee with his – that's got to be one of the best spine busters in wrestling. It just has to be. And the way he planted Lee with it was beautiful. I think that's the right result. I saw some people like, how could you do this? But no, we need – Team Taz has to be seen as still like – they'll cheat to get it done if they have to. Like, these are top-of-the-line guys. So I think that's the right result because Swerve and Keith Lee, they're going to keep winning. They've beaten them in singles, so – excuse me. But, yeah.
Agreed. It's a really good match. I think that – I wrote in my notes – I'll come back to this, that the show needed a good bounce back at this point in the show, and this match delivered where it needed to before the main event. So,
agreed.
Get the crowd back, you know?
So, yeah. Let's real quick hit our Dark and Dark Elevation results. I believe you have Elevation this week, so... I'll touch a couple news things.
Okay.
Windy City Riot happened. Moxley and Ospreay was the main event that everyone was talking about. I think the main story here is Moxley hit Seth Rollins' finisher on Ospreay because Seth Rollins and Ospreay had that beef a couple years ago. It's pretty funny. And I'm sure this all leads to someone hitting a... I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. Maybe Rollins using a pedigree. I don't know.
Mox versus Ospreay versus Rollins at Survivor Series.
New Japan versus AEW versus WWF. Let's get it. The Federation. I don't know.
The Fed.
I love calling it that. Shout out the boys Pretty Deadly picking up the NXT Tag Team Champions. Garrett, these guys were NXT UK Tag Champs for a while. I had never watched them. I watched their match where they won the titles, and then I somehow found these guys on TikTok, and I was like, "Are these guys are fucking great."
Are these the guys that, wait, is this the team that almost got, one of them got almost canceled? Hold on.
No. This was, that was MSK, and Emma's Nash got fired, so.
Oh, okay.
They fired one of the top 10 best tag teams in the world, GG. And.
I mean,
that's really all we had this week. Shout out Pretty Deadly. Those guys are awesome. I mean, at least they're putting the championships on wrestlers. That's what I'll say.
NXT 2.0. Anyway.
2.0. So take us to Dark Elevation, brother.
Speaking of NXT 2.0, Frankie Kazarian opened up the squash against a jobber wearing tights that looked like they would have bonged on NXT 2.0. You like how I set that up there?
Damn.
All right. Anyway, Frankie gets the squash. I think he finished him with the crossface chicken wing, hopefully. If not, I don't know what he used. Diamante also came in on match number two to squash Ashley Diambois.
I'm cool with seeing her on TV, dude.
Yeah.
I like her. I think there's a spot for her.
Possibly. Shoulder, like, thing, that submission thing, whatever the hell the thing is called. Gun Club took on, and Chaos, sorry, Gun Club and Chaos Project took on the Dark Order. It was a Stu 10, Silver Reynolds in 5. It was a decent match. They keep using the Dark Order trio finisher, so maybe they're going to set up some sort of trios titles. I don't know. Every time there's trios nonsense on Dark, I just assume they're setting that up.
Was this another week with Dark Order not on TV?
I'm okay with that.
I think they're losing some steam even backstage. Yeah.
Yeah, possibly. But I mean, the only thing you can really use them for is like feuds. You can't really use them.
I thought it was
going to
be the House of Black thing, but maybe not.
The only tag team out of the entirety of the Dark Order that I think that you could put in the tag team title contention and actually make sense would be Silver and Reynolds. And I don't think they're there. I don't think they're the guys you want as your tag team. As weird as it is to say, I like them both, and I like them as a tag team.
I think they've had their shots too, and it's just never been.
It's never been the right time, and yeah. I don't know that it's going to be. Anyway, match number four, I believe we were on. Yes. The Bunny, Emi Sakura, and Lou Fisto took on Ruby Soho, Sky Blue, and Anna Jay. None of the matches on this show got any time. Dark's a joke, dude. I'm sorry. I'm saying it. It's just sad. It's sad. We had Penta Oscuro taking on George Joel, who is now George Job, is the new name. And wait a minute, though. They actually gave Jor a match, though.
Yeah.
Not really, though.
Nah, not really.
I mean, they did. I remember writing that, and I'm sure I liked it at the time, but this episode of Dark just didn't do it for me. I guess this episode of Elevation, which I didn't say that episode was episode 58, by the way. I do keep track of these things. And then we closed the show with the Factory taking on Top Flight for the 7,987th time. And somehow they managed to make Top Flight boring.
Oh, come on.
And I think that Factory is done. I think just end that tag team.
Well, then they had them go win on New Japan Strong. I have no idea what's going on. So I had AEW Dark, Garrett. This was episode
138.
This was taped in mid-January, so that makes you feel important. Powerhouse Hobbs got a squash match. Max Caster was out there. He had a pretty funny little thing. He picked up another squash himself. Diamante was out there picking up a squash. See, these are taped so long ago, no one gives a shit. Jorah Joel, he actually picked up a victory squash match.
Bro, he slipped during the big boot.
He did. And I don't know, man. It's it was kind of cool to see him. This match is actually kind of neat. Emi Sakura defeated Charlotte Renegade.
Yeah.
Renegade, man. I would sign them in a heartbeat. I'm not going to lie.
Dude, they seem like they want to sign them, but they're like, do we? And then, like Emi Sakura winning with the Maestro. I mean,
to me, this is like one of the easiest signings you could make. Don't let NXT get them.
Oh, no, dude.
Do not let NXT sign them.
Oh, no, Charlie. You have to let me take the next match. I wrote one word in my notes for the next match Dean versus Rohit Raju.
Okay, hit it. What was the word?
Yawn.
Yeah. This was not good, man.
Bro.
I didn't
even remember writing that. That's so brutal.
Raju wrestled much better against Blake Christian. That being said, I'm not going to blame Sean Dean for this. I just think the guys didn't work together. He faced MJF this week. So, you know, in a way, this felt like it kind of was meant to be, even though it was taped 3 months ago. But, excuse me. Yeah, that was our main event. Headlock driver by Dean for the win. And, yeah.
Literally the most boring Dark main events they've had in a while. Like,
it was not good. All right, so yeah, let's hop right into this week. We got three shows to cover here.
Dynamite.
So Dynamite starts off with CM Punk versus Penta Oscuro with Sith Eternal. Alex Abrahantes out there.
Exactly.
This was so much fun. I can't.
So we started with chops and we ended the night with chops. Interesting. Just noticing that.
Yeah, just right away they got
chops. City, bitch.
This the CM Punk. Story here, building him as the contender is fun, and he's putting out really good matches every single week. It's just truly enjoyable to watch. Penta, you know, we were wondering what they would do with him when Phoenix went down, and it seems like they keep finding different stuff all the time for him. So that lets you know, even though Phoenix is down, the Lucha Brothers are still a high priority in this company, and I think they always will be. So giving him the chance here to go one-on-one with Punk was great. I think it's going to be much better than Punk's match we're going to have next week. I'm actually not looking forward to that. I do not think they're going to go well together. We'll talk about that at the end of the show.
Oh, you actually don't think? Dude, I don't know.
I do not think.
You not remember the last couple matches that...
I just don't see it with these two, man. The way Punk's been wrestling, I don't know how they're going to go well, but...
I think they're just going to do everything. I think this is going to be one of those matches where he actually takes some bumps because... it's an actual legend, you know?
Yeah, and Punk, so Punk has been tapping people out with the Anaconda Vice recently, but Penta got himself out of it, and then they had some more back and forth, and Punk ended up hitting him with the GTS. So if you're, for those keeping track at home, that was three Anaconda Vice victories, followed now by a back to the GTS. Punk, man.
I want to see this match again. I think they left enough still that they could do that. They, I think, could this have
was
like 18,
19 minutes. It was a little quicker. So yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
What did you take from this?
This is what I wrote in my notes. Man, it's like a beautiful thing having CM Punk back. We just got to appreciate that more because he's not going to be around forever.
No, it is.
And
so
it's just a great opening match. You know, like I said, I want to see it again. Give me this maybe a couple weeks, a month from now when it's far enough removed, because it was good, but it didn't, I don't think they did everything, you know?
I could see that. Yeah. And so let's hop into, we had a video package hyping up the Jericho Appreciation Society arriving. Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz showed up.
They jumped them at the airfield, bro. What the fuck?
I'm loving this.
Eddie just looks like he's having fun, man. It's great.
He has to be, dude. He fucking has to be.
You could tell he wasn't sure about this storyline at first, but now that it's like working and it's like honestly the biggest storyline on the show, I'm gonna be honest. You know, like,
it's like, so much fun. Like, the non-title storylines are so much fun right now, too.
Dude, that's the thing I think that's been missing recently, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so that brings us to the tag match, which was Jurassic Express and Red Dragon. I'm going to let you take the start of this one.
All right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so we had this AEW World Tag Team Championship match between Red Dragon and Jurassic Express. Luchasaurus was just killing people in this match. I don't know if somebody pissed off Luchasaurus backstage. Bro, he was killing people in this match.
He really was, though.
Like, in the first 5 minutes, go back to the first 5 minutes of this match and watch him just looking for people to just level. I don't know who he was giving the people receipt for, or if they were all just trying to get him angry before this match so that he'd go off, because he's been kind of like, I'm going to be honest, Luchasaurus, you haven't really been doing much lately in the background, all these fights, you know, like.
I mean, yeah, we've been running really slowly for like toward the ring. 4 or 5 weeks of them chasing him. Yeah, and I will say, this got a 4.5 star rating. And it was a 13.5-minute match. Jurassic Express can wrestle. We just need to be putting them in better storylines. I think that's safe to say. Absolutely. Right?
Oh, yeah. The pace was a little slow at the first, but like then it kind of went off the rails. Like, it was nuts. The pace was all over the place, but I didn't think that mattered because this is just one of those nutso sort of tag matches that AEW does every now and then. You know, I did feel like Red Dragon took a lot more than they gave in this match. Which is fine, because they were losing anyway, but, you know.
That's kind of what made me think they were going to win even more, though. I'm with you.
Yeah.
It was like a good 7 minutes where I think they were getting just dogged on. Mm-hmm. Kyle O'Reilly, man, he had so many little funny moments. Red Dragon.
He's going to be such a fun, like, you know how WWE figured out, like, at the last second before they lost O'Reilly that he's a great single star that we should just put on the main roster? He'll be that for AEW once Red Dragon breaks up, because eventually they will, because him and Fish are both individually good enough that you want them both on your roster.
Look at their tag title run, and I'm sure it'll be great. It'll last a few months, maybe through 2023 a little bit there, or 2020.
You know what? I've decided who I want the next tag team champions to be, and it's not even, do it like 2 weeks from now on Dynamite if you got to, or on the pay-per-view, I don't care. It's got to be the Acclaimed, dude. It's got to be.
I would love it if it was the Acclaimed. I think that's the perfect next team.
Who else do you put him on? Like, you could put him on some people, but like,
if it wasn't going to be Red Dragon here, I thought they might have started the Red Dragon storyline here. But
it does seem like FTR is where they're going next, though.
Maybe. Yeah, well, yeah, they came out after the match, right? So, but I'm with you. I thought this match was fantastic.
I mean, can I be honest with you, though? I'd rather it be FTR versus somebody else. Like, not to say anything about dress. I just don't know how much that matters. I'm sure FTR will make it great. I just don't know. I think I'd rather it be two other people.
Well, I'm starting to think it might be like some type of gauntlet match at Double or Nothing. Ew. Some type of like five tag team match.
Ugh.
Maybe like
don't.
A super
oh,
TLC
God, no.
match.
No.
Jurassic Express, Red Dragon, Young Bucks, FTR, tossing the Acclaimed or something, and then have the Acclaimed get the surprise.
Save that for Blood and Guts. Let's do an actual match at the.
Nah, see, Blood and Guts. It's definitely Jericho versus the Black Bull Combat Club.
Oh,
it's going to be just insanity. To me, I think that's going to be the best storyline we have, like, potentially all year.
Oh, yeah, because
if we're still counting MJF and Punk as 20.
Yeah, does that count as this year?
I'm counting it as 2021, because that's when it started. To me, it's when it starts.
It's actually the actual match, though, that mattered. Yeah. Happened this year, which is weird. Like,
but no, this was fantastic. Like I said, 4.5 stars. The Punk match got 3.75, and they wrestled 11 seconds shorter. But this was when we look at title reigns, we're gonna see this match years from now and be like, oh yeah, they kicked ass. 4.5 star dynamite match. You fucking kidding me? It's like, absolutely. That's the way it was. And yeah, after the match, we'll talk about it real quick. Well, actually, no, we're hopping into it. FTR comes out. They're hosting up their belts. They kind of get into it with Red Dragon. I mean, give me that match all fucking day.
Yes.
We head backstage and Tony's
with Triple Champions.
Regal, Moxley, Danielson, and Wheeler Yuta of the Blackpool Combat Club. Shivani announces awesome. That they will face the Gun Club in a 6-man tag. Garrett, I cannot express to you how happy this made me.
It feels so good to see Wheeler Yuta finally getting a little bit of respect. Like, I've been calling for it for months. Like, the guy's been killing it on Dark.
He feels like he belongs. Ever. I found this picture of the Blackpool Combat Club, and it just looks so beautiful. I hope they run them as a trio for a little bit. Maybe get a member in like 6 weeks. Let's let them run as a trio for a little bit here.
Absolutely.
Mox is pretty much saying, we're going to beat the piss out of the Gun Club. Like, this isn't even going to be a fight. Like, this is
not. Now the real work begins.
So we announce MJF and Sean Dean is up next. We head backstage. Tony Storm and Jamie Hayter are backstage. Tony Khan has told them they will face off in the first round of the Owen Hart Cup. That scares me.
Yeah.
Because we've been calling for Jamie Hayter to hopefully win this thing, but Garrett, I don't think she's beating Tony Storm now.
Yeah.
I don't feel confident at all in that.
Double elimination. No, I was kidding.
Yeah. Hayter says she wants more than the match then, Tony Khan and the fans, and there's similarities between them. Hayter says they both honored their craft in Japan and the UK, much like Owen Hart, but this is her crowning moment. I hope, if they were to pick someone, I hope it's Jamie Hayter, man. She came here in what, October? And that was when she joined Britt, and it felt like, I don't know, man, I like her in the ring. So, yeah, but,
yeah,
but Toni Storm is Toni Storm. Toni Storm's great. Toni Storm's one of the best wrestlers on this roster. So it's like, can you really have Hayter beat her? It's just a bad matchup for Hayter, man.
Bruh.
I don't like it for Hayter. MJF for Sean Dean. I mean, the match was there. This is the Wardlow story again. I'm getting a little tired of it, and I think they are too. So now we're just going to skip. So the main thing here.
How did they manage to screw up what was supposed to be one of the most.
Well, I don't think it's screwed up yet. I think they pulled it a little too early. I do agree with that. Well, we were saying that
they kind of screwed it up a little bit, because like, now you have to kind of just pull out of it, and like, we'll come back to this later, like, you know.
Now, now they're gonna put War Dog through hell. But the end of this match, real quick, MJF is running away, and he offers them double the ref's pay, and the ref still fucking counts him out. I mean, dude, I love that. MJF's so rich, he tries paying off the ref. Dude, they should have had a fucking ref. They should have had Rick Knox out there.
He needs to use that as a gimmick and actually get a ref to, like, fucking stop him, like, stop a count or something.
And then have Tony Khan, like, ridiculing the ref backstage. Imagine if he does that to win a...
And then the ref says something like, pay me more or something. Like, it implies that Tony Khan doesn't pay the refs enough or something.
What if Rick Knox became MJF's personal ref and, like, helped him cheat?
Dude, there's
money.
I think you might want it. I wish it would be Bryce, just someone that fits the look of MJF, because like, everybody in MJF's faction is like a pretty boy. You know what I mean?
Dude,
like,
just make it work. But Captain Sean Dean got the victory via countout. Garrett, anything? What else? Wardlow attacks.
Obviously, Sean Dean. They've realized, okay, we can't have this guy have 25 losses on the year and still have him win matches. Like, it just doesn't work. Like, you know, like,
he's got the Pinnacle's number,
bro. But you know what my fear is that Sean Dean's going to pick up 4 wins and then like 20 losses in a row. Like,
well, if we're going by anything that happens on Dark, right? He actually won Dark this week. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
6 months ago.
Yeah, so he's on a win streak. He's on a roll. They need to bring in his tag partner. Or I still think...
Carly Bravo isn't on the roster, is he?
Nope. No, he's not signed, so... Yeah, this is pretty cool. It's setting up. We're going to see Wardlow in matches again next week. In a match I'm actually pretty excited for. Against the Butcher. So,
Butcher.
We get a video package from Darby Allin hyping up the Coffin match versus Andrade.
Oh, yeah. By the way, before we move on to that, how do you feel about like MJF buying the Butcher?
I think it makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Just making money deals with Andrade to buy his talent. They have some previous work to history. Remember a couple months ago?
Absolutely.
So if they play that up. But Darby Allin versus Andrade in a coffin match, which is what should be our TNT title picture right now, if things went the way they should have month ago. But I mean, yeah, we get a beautiful comp.
That was the one match thing we predicted that just didn't happen. That one just didn't. It never went. Like,
dude, Andrade with the TNT championship right now would be beautiful.
You know what? Hold on. Here's a prediction. Now that we're going to get to Sammy in a second. Now that Sammy has the title again, though, that could possibly be the title picture again, because that's who was potentially going to be the one who faced them, because that's who was having good matches. We even talked about Cody possibly doing it. So it's like, how wild is that? We were talking about Cody possibly being in those matches. Oh my goodness. But so much has happened since then.
Five-star match, man. Cody versus Sammy, dude. That feels like such a different Sammy now.
And then he went to WWE and couldn't even get a 5-star match. Oof.
Can't get one with old brother Seth. But
sorry, bud. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, hey, this is looking good. Yeah, we jump into a pre-taped promo from Malakai Black, and he's calling out Fuego. Guys, really? I get
Fuego
it, I guess.
Fuego del Sol.
I mean, their match was fun, but I would have thought this is dead. I guess not. Unless they turn Fuego in. I don't know. I don't know what you can do with that.
Fuego del Black.
Fuego del Job. Jericho Appreciation Society. Jericho Hager and Garcia versus Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz. Yeah, I mean,
it's the House of Fuego.
This was great. This was a fantastic match. Daniel Garcia, just so much money, man. There was some shenanigans that went on, but that kind of happened at the end. Didn't really
Yeah, it didn't really impact the match that much.
But this is the right call. Jericho Appreciation Society getting the win.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of some of the moments that stuck out to me. I mean, I believe it was Santana hitting the Three Amigos on Garcia.
Yeah.
That was really nice.
I'll tell you what stuck out to me. The fact that they still didn't form the three of them as a faction.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
Like, they just need to give it a name. If you want to call it Proud and Powerful, call it that, Tony. I'm fine with that. That's a good name. But you can also just call it LAX. You own Ring of Honor. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, dude, I'm sure they got some rights to some of it.
And if they can't, and if like somehow TNA owns it or something, then you can, like, you have a deal with
them.
There
was
like,
a beautiful Kingston on Jericho. He hit him with the Uranagi. It was just beautiful. There was so much, man, that like we were talking about all night, kind of the story, the forearms. Hager was landing them. Ortiz was landing them. Everyone was landing big forearms in this match too. But I mean, really the golden goose here was Daniel Garcia. And yeah, I mean, I believe this match got 4 stars. So, I mean, this was a very good TV match. Well deserved. You know what it lets us know, though? At the pay-per-view, Double or Nothing, if this does go that far, I think we might get some crazy fucking stipulation around it. And it could just be awesome.
Oh, absolutely. That could be pretty crazy. We'll see. Are you ready to talk about, I mean, there's, I guess there's like the, no, I actually, no, yeah. Are you ready to talk about what's next?
Yeah, we get that quick MJF promo, which we kind of already covered, where he called him the greedy little pig, and he's going to have the butcher. The butcher kind of did something a little funny. Marina Shafir versus Sky Blue.
Yikes.
This, it's not, I don't want to sound mean when I say this, but the entire arena was kind of leaving to go use the bathroom here. That's because
they knew
me,
man.
As soon as Marina Shafir's music hit, I saw everyone leaving.
Bro, did they tell them or something? Like, because this match just felt like they gave it nothing. Like, also, there was something really weird that happened during this match or right before the match started. So, Sky Blue, Velvet, and Hogan are in the baddie section.
Yeah, I think they're joining Jade's baddie section.
Does
maybe
Jade have a faction?
Yeah, no,
now?
It was Velvet and Hogan. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah, sorry, Sky Blue. So Velvet and Hogan in the baddie section. So Sky Blue and Marina Shafir are out there having a match, and they're just in the baddie section. I feel like that's strange. So does that mean Velvet and Hogan have just joined Jade as a faction now? Like,
they might start playing it up as that. They might want to be with her. this baddie thing might be
leading towards something. Well, she picks the baddies, right? So
yeah, like, so she might be picking him. And I think, Red Velvet had that heel turn recently. Kiera Hogan's been signed now for like 6 months, but she's really only been on Dark. Put her with Jade. I'm cool with it, because if this gives Jade a tag team to work with, you know, the more the merrier. They need to get some factions in the women's division, so I am down with it. Because, I mean, just as a comparison, NXT 2.0.
I know, because the one faction they had in Britt Baker, they wanted to break up. It was so funny. It was crazy.
Britt, Rebel, and Hater. I mean, they need to get more of these teams out there, because it works. Yes. But this was a slow match. I just think Shafir, I hope the match on Rampage goes over well. I'm just a little worried because she wrestles a much slower style. I don't know. I don't know who they can put her with. I always thought stick Ruby out there with her. Maybe Ruby could really have a good match with Marina because she's so fucking talented. But yeah, Sky Blue. I mean, she's awesome. Sky Blue is just, she is someone you want to root for. Lexi Nair is backstage with Hook, as well as Tony Nese and Mark Sterling. Nese tells Lexi to leave. Nese says he can't handle Hook, who stands up. Hook's just staring at these guys. Danhausen pops up behind Hook, and he holds a ball. Dude, if this leads to a Danhausen-Hook tag team, Garrett, I don't know what's going on here, but I like it.
That's what I think is happening, and I hate it.
But I'm not going to lie to you, man. I love Tony Nese and Mark Sterling. By the way, Mark Sterling on three segments in a row with three different clients.
MJF, like Tony Nese, and then he was with as a client. I like that. I just like it.
But yeah, Hook and Dan.
I don't know what's the point of making him have a manager now if he's just going to lose the Hook. But you know,
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do.
Because then it feels like now, if you take what happened in storyline, he joined up with that faction and then started to lose. So
I don't know what's going to happen with Tony. They're just trying.
I don't know what the whole point of that is.
This is for Dark, man. This is for Tony Nese and Mark Sterling when they go do the tapings. And they'll be out there and he'll get three wins. That's what this is for. Or it's to get Tony Nese in that tournament, maybe. Maybe the lawyer can get him in the tournament. But this is, I'm still liking the use of Danhausen. I think he's the nice little comedic relief. I like the comedic relief here following that segment and then going into another good match. Excuse me. Back from the break, Scorpio Sky is backstage with Ethan Page and Dan Lambert. Scorpio says that Sammy Guevara is finally going to get his ass kicked and that he deserves a battle of the belts. And that the only thing that's bigger in Texas is Scorpio's winning streak.
That aged well.
Yeah. We get that match. Yeah. We get the tag match that we covered in favorites. Commentary is announcing what's going on for Battle of the Belts and Rampage. Tony Schiavone is backstage with Thunder Rosa.
Schiavone.
They're cutting a promo. Before Rosa can say anything, Nyla and Vicky interrupt. Nyla has a cake, and Vicky congratulates Rosa on having the shortest title reign in AEW history. Rosa shoves the cake in Nyla's face. Nyla then clocks Vicky.
So what I wrote in my notes over this was Thunder Rosa put the cake in Nyla's face.
There you go. And that sets up our main event. I know that
it doesn't have any euphemism. It's not a euphemism at all, guys. Not at all.
Yes. And so our main event here, there is a lot of debate on this main event. What there isn't debate of is how good and fun the match was. Now, this style of wrestling. What's the debate?
I haven't heard any. I actually haven't looked at any other responses to this because I wanted to talk about it.
It's that post match. Here's what I'll say. I don't think this type of match is for everyone. And we know that for a fact. Not everyone likes this New Japan style of strong style of guys just standing there.
I don't even know if this punching counts as the that, shit out of each other. It's kind of New Japan light in a lot of ways because, like, if this match was in Japan, oh my God, would they have killed each other.
I think this one felt like it was, especially at the beginning, because they were not holding back. And I would love to know how long it was.
like the same level as Danielson versus Suzuki did, because it was in an AEW ring. It felt like,
yeah,
Suzuki knew he didn't have to do as much to get people to like freak out.
There was like 4 minutes of them just punching. And no, I think
absolutely
that is not a style for everyone, which I'll totally accept that. For me, it works.
You can be wrong about your wrestling.
I love the Suzuki style, and I think this was a dream match, and I think it lived up to it. This was a good main event. It got four and a quarter stars. As you can tell, this was an insanely graded show. I feel like you don't often get grades like this on shows.
Pay-per-view quality show.
Literally. If this was for the Ring of Honor World Championship, like, come on. Jay Lethal and Sanjay Dutt are in the crowd. So pretty much this match is just going back and forth. Suzuki, the way it closes, Suzuki's going for an armbar. Joey ends up breaking free, scoops up Suzuki, and plants him with the muscle buster. Gets the 1-2-3, and boom, we have a new champion. Samoa Joe is the new Ring of Honor World Television Championship. World champion.
He is the championship.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on the match before we get into what happens after?
Bro, when this match came on, I think I watched this live, I want to say.
No, you definitely did, because we were messaging with each other. 100%.
That's right. I remember, dude, when the fucking stare down happened at the start of the match, I got chills. The crowd energy just gave. I was just goosebumps. You know what I mean? Like, because absolutely. This is a match I was looking forward to as soon as it was announced. I was like, they're just giving that away on. Okay, you know, sure. Short title reign for Suzuki, but okay, you know, like.
Yeah, because are they going to beat Samoa Joe this quick? Yeah,
no.
Right. So.
But anyway, so remember how I was like, the first match had like a lot of chops in it? Well, we got more chops for you here. That's what like the first 4 minutes was most of, was chops. They were just chopped. Dude, Samoa Joe's chest, I've never seen look like that. That was insane.
He looked like
nobody has been able to make Joe look like that. Like, and this man has been in there with Brock a couple times, you know, like, and that's just to say Brock.
I gotta say real quick, I saw some people saying this is already better than Joe's WWE run.
There were a couple of matches in Joe's run that.
And he was always treated like a
top
guy.
Bro, how can you say that? His feud with AJ Styles?
That's what I'm saying. I feel like people are just really trying to dog.
Hey, Wendy!
Right? And I feel like people are trying to go out of their way to like everybody. To say Joe was, you know, oh, he was not used for years. Guys, he was a multi-time NXT champion. When he was on the main roster, he was constantly treated like a top guy. And when he was hurt, they liked him so much, they let him do commentary. Or he wanted to do commentary. It was one of the two, and he was great at it. It just, I think the way it closed is it didn't close well. Samoa Joe is just, he's just a guy that likes to wrestle. So I'm not going to sit here and say like, oh, this is better already than that run. I'm loving what this is starting as though. But I think that's completely unfair to like say Joe has not been used for a few years. I think the guy's been great the past couple of years.
I just think Samoa Joe is always good. There's so many matches I want to see in nowadays. Him versus Punk, him versus Danielson, him versus
exactly
Adam Cole, him versus Adam Page, him versus either Fish or O'Reilly or both, or Tony Deese, or give me all the matches.
Give me all the matches. Swerve, and
Keith Lee.
Fuck. There's so many. And so let's hop into the aftermatch. So Sanjay and Jay Lethal get on the mic. They're sarcastically congratulating Joe. Lethal does the same. He has a gift box for him, and it's his finger. Sanjay asks for a drum roll, and it's his finger, yeah. So Joe is pissed, and the lights go out. And Satnam Singh appears in the ring and attacks Joe from behind. He puts Joe all cold with a double hand choke. Lethal hits Joe with a lethal injection, which was fucking gorgeous.
It's best finisher right now, in my
opinion. This was getting absolutely thrashed online. And Tony even kind of mentioned, maybe I shouldn't have turned the lights off for that on Busted Open. I'm paraphrasing there. But even Tony kind of mentioned, yeah, maybe the lights off thing. Because I think when he flipped the lights off, and this is why we know AEW is held to an extremely high standard. Everyone kind of assumed that was going to be a big star debuting. And AEW is at such a high standard right now that everything they do is expected to be great.
It'd be like if they did this for, and this is not a knock on Jade at all.
It'd be like if they did that for Jade. The way they debuted Jade was the correct way to debut Jade. It worked out perfectly.
Yeah, or if they were if they're debuting something and Joel got the lights turned off and turned on.
Oh my god, yeah, that's kind of the equivalent. Joel or another person. If they did that with Sean Dean, like when they first got Sean Dean, who the hell is Sean Dean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's the level of known star. You know what I mean? Like,
and I think what happened here is people let their what's that saying we use all the time?
They let their expectations become speculation become expectation.
There you go. They let their speculation become expectations, and I think obviously we all would have loved Cesaro debuting here, and I think a lot of people thought that's what it was, and it wasn't. But this is a good spot for Satnam Singh. Now, hypothetically, should they have just had him walk up behind those guys or go out there with him at the start? Yes, that would have gone over much much better, but. I'm not going to sit here and bury the end of this. I thought this was perfectly fine.
Yeah, there's something else we're going to bury.
I can agree with Tony. Maybe you shouldn't have turned the lights off because that has set a precedent in AEW when they turn the lights off. I can fully agree with that. And if he knows it, he knows it. That means we know it. And I like how he's not afraid to say that to the media, by the way. That's so open. And also, Tony Khan is on Swerve's podcast this week. Fucking shout out Tony Khan, man.
I'll have to check that out.
Dude, I actually will too. You know, the only time I've watched Swerve's podcast was with Bailey on it. Thought it was fucking awesome.
Oh, but I wonder if that's evergreen enough that I could watch it. Probably not.
But thumbs up, thumbs down world. I'm definitely giving Dynamite a thumbs up. Even there was so much fun wrestling, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. Agreed.
I would love to know the total time slot of wrestling we had. And on a 2-hour show, I feel like it was like an hour and 25, hour and 30 minutes of in-ring wrestling.
Yeah, literally. So I was kind of surprised with the length that some stuff on Battle for the Belts got, because I was like, huh?
Yeah, and so let's hop into Rampage. Rampage, similar thing, absolutely loaded with wrestling. We've already talked about... Oh, no, we haven't actually. Never mind. Pause. Let's jump into Gun Club versus Blackpool Combat Club. This is our first time seeing
Wheeler Yuta. It's the club battle.
They addressed that the Gun Club has not
lost. They should have hit each other with clubs. No, anyway.
Yeah. They addressed that the Gun Club has not lost in 3v3 competition yet. I'm glad they did, even though like most of that was, you know, dark and whatnot. But yeah, dude, this was Yuta. Story of the match is Yuta here, man. He's over. Wheeler Yuta is over big time. He feels like he belongs in this group. He got his music. This was special, dude. And
he was the one that was accompanied by William Regal, which I thought was interesting. It was Daniel
such a nice little touch, man. And this was so much fun, dude. There was good spots with Billy Gunn. Austin Gunn was funny. And then, I mean, Moxley and Danielson were just fucking great. this team, Garrett, I genuinely think they could put
on the way, match with any. Can career. I just say, Wheeler Yuta getting to pin Billy Gunn? That's actually huge. Like,
that is huge.
It's massive. That's like a legend. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's wild.
Ring of Honor pure champion Wheeler Yuta. I mean, I think he could be the one that's in the TNT title picture relatively soon. If this all works out the way we think it's going to.
I don't know, man. Like, because the thing is, like, I feel like I don't want him to be pure champion and TNT champion. I feel like it's gonna be a little weird, you know?
Yeah, I think they need to get that ROH title off and probably at that next show.
But there's some people you could put that on that like I wanna see. Oh, I think I know what match I want for him to lose that title in. I want him to fight Lee Moriarty in a pure title, pure wrestling match.
Okay, I'd be down with that.
Because he's got that. Oh, dude, do you remember Moriarty versus Danielson, bro? And they started rolling around the ring like madmen.
That still makes me want Lee Moriarty in this group. I still want him to be the next one in. But it's not like he's in a Ring of Honor storyline now.
Yeah, it's probably. Yeah. But that's okay, though.
But yeah, I mean, this match was just. It was fun, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I really enjoyed it.
We need to get those like trios titles.
I can't think of a better team that to snap the Gun Club's undefeated streak. I needed to get off them. I always say undefeated streaks in wrestling are fucking stupid.
I have an idea for the pay-per-view, though.
Okay. The pace of the match felt a little bit off. I think a lot of matches kind of had that problem this week. I feel like when there's so much good wrestling with so much time on the show being taken up by good wrestling, it's hard to pace out your match correctly sometimes because you might have more time than you thought, you know, or less time, or who knows what, you know, things happen. So. But yeah, Yuta pinning Billy Gunn. Pretty cool.
That's the story right here, right? And Wheeler Yuta, man, getting wins on TV, baby. How about this for Blackpool Combat Club at Double or Nothing? Assuming none of them are in that tournament.
Okay.
Blackpool Combat Club as a trio versus the House of Black.
I'd be down with that.
I think that's a spot for both of them, and you can have a fucking insane match.
Sucks that the House of Black would have to lose that match, probably, but...
Oh, yeah, but they wouldn't mind losing it to this team, who is by far the talk of the town. Dude, oh my god, I love this trio. I just love it so much. The Butcher gets a squash match. I'm always welcome to having how long was this? 52-second squash matches?
Here's your story. And you know how you said you don't want them trying to go after somebody just yet? What if your story is they're still trying to recruit, but they're trying to steal Matthews away from the House of Black?
I'm so fucking down. I'm not even going to lie to you, man. I am unbelievable.
And when they're trying to equally steal Wheeler Yuta or something back.
And then they just replace him with the Butcher. Give me the Butcher in House of Black. I swear to God.
House of the Butcher.
Where's the guy? No, this was great.
The Black Butcher.
There you go. Hey, yo. There you go. And that would be great. Backstage, Dustin Rhodes told Lance Archer that their issues are yet to be finished. He challenges CM Punk to a singles match on Dynamite. It was a dream match of his.
Yeah, you're not so into this, but I don't know. Yeah. I think it'll be great. Dustin Rhodes.
I think it could be fine. Don't get me wrong.
The reason they call him the Natural, man. That's all I'm saying.
I'm imagining we're going to have a nice slow pace here, and maybe it'll deliver. Dude,
Dustin Rhodes. Okay, we remember Dustin Rhodes versus Lance Archer a couple weeks back? Like, it's fine.
Yeah, I thought that was all right. I thought that, you know.
It was better than you gave it credit for,
I think. Yeah. Like I said, I am welcome to be surprised here, and I would love nothing more than to come on here and have this as my favorite next week. I'm so fucking down with that. But that being said, this is going to take us to an Owen Cup qualifier, which is Ruby Soho versus Robin Renegade.
It's special appearance by Remix Jones.
Remix, there you go. And Garrett, I got to say, man, I am so happy for the Renegades. They were able to pull off twin magic in this. It worked perfectly. The Renegades are still only 21 years old. If I'm AEW, I'm hopping on these girls fucking right away. Pulling off the twin magic and having it work like that, even Ruby was kind of like, wait, what the... After the match, Ruby obviously won with the Sister Abigail.
It's called the Destination Unknown, I think.
Dude, Ruby with a fucking Sister Abigail. I was so down with this. But this is fun, man.
I prefer it being called the Blade Runner, by the way, just saying.
Yes. And... I just remember us putting over the Renegades on Dark so many times, and now I feel like they're here. I mean, I know they're friends.
They're never going to get signed. They're Anthony Green of the women's division.
That's fine. Let them go to NXT then. Cool. GG. They'll get locked up to NXT. Yikes.
No, there's no shot Anthony Green goes back to NXT. They
I'm saying the Renegades.
I know.
And let them.
Them or – they actually kind of fit with 2.0, honestly.
I think they'd be
put them
great.
In some rainbow gear.
And there's tag champions good. Over there for the women. And what better than to have twin sisters do it? Can make it work. But yeah, Ruby Soho winning here is the best choice. I'm starting to kind of piece together my dream finale. If it's, I don't know, it changes each week, but I'm starting to think maybe my dream finale is going to be Ruby versus Toni Storm, maybe.
Quit putting Ruby in these tournaments just to have her lose in the finals, bro. Stop it.
I'd let Ruby win this.
Let Ruby win something.
I'd like Ruby. I'd like Ruby to win this.
Let Ruby win something. Damn it. Quit putting her in these damn tournaments. She's going to lose. They're not going
to
win.
I wanted Jamie Hayter to win, but now I think she's definitely losing to Toni Storm. Second match, bro. Toni's second match. No shot. We're beginning, I think, 8 months from now, this women's division is going to look a lot different than it did 8 months ago from today.
I mean, if you think about it, just the people they've added, the only person I think they really need to add at this point, like there's a few people they could. I think I would love to see this be where, what is the
Athena?
Name of Athena? Obviously, we've talked about her for a while. I was thinking, I can't think of her name.
Tegan Knox?
Maybe? Emma. I can't think of her name on the indies.
Tennille Dashwood.
Tennille Dashwood. I would like Tennille to land there. Possibly Deonna Purrazzo if they can, you know, get her away from Impact. You know?
If you start adding, this is going to be a different looking women's division. I think Willow gets
signed.
But
the one I want them to add is Mia Yim. I mean, that just makes sense with Keith Lee. Like,
let me think. Oh my God, there's so much talent. So yeah, moving on. This is a good match, though. We get set up for our main event.
Reckoning. The Reckoning.
Our main event. Adam Cole and Hangman were pretty good in that interview.
The Battle of the Atoms.
Battle of the Atoms. But this was a Texas
promo. This promo actually didn't do that much for me. The last couple of weeks has been pretty good, like, because of who's been in it.
Yeah. Like, but this was nice. The match. So right away you notice that these guys are in street gear. And this was fun, man. This had a slower build up to it. Once it got going, I think it got going really well.
Didn't need the blood immediately, I don't think. You could have had blood in this match, but you didn't need it right away.
Like, nah, I didn't need it right away. But no, this was, Hangman, again, he has not had a bad match in his championship reign. And I think that continues here. But I think the best news about this is moving on from Adam Cole.
Yes.
And Hangman. Unfortunately for Cole, now I know he's been here since All Out, which was August?
And he hasn't done shit since he's been here, I'm just going to be honest.
I think he's done a lot.
He's been involved in stuff, but he's not actually won anything since he's been here. All the big time stuff, he has pretty much lost.
Yeah, but this just was not... He could not win this title here. This was not the right time.
No, it would have made no sense. It would have been like, why? You know, if they were going to have him win it, they should have had him win it the first time they had the match. And it should have just been to be like, no, this was a short title reign. They did that with a different championship instead. So that's not what they did, you know? So,
and yeah, this was... Hangman just feels on another level right now.
Yeah, dude, the knee strike on the chair, never even thought that was a thing, but there you go. Nope. Like when
the idea of
the chain clothesline, ew.
The chain clothesline, the finisher of the match, the Deadeye on the two tables with barbed wire around his head.
Yeah, the crown of Barb's Deadeye is what I dubbed that name.
And I loved the idea of during the match, Hangman tied him up and was going to beat him with the chair. But then he's like,
no, that was stupid. Beat him to death.
No, man, because he's a babyface.
Kill him. Murder him.
But, and then when Adam Cole betrayed him, he then fucking beat the shit out of him anyway. So he thought better on himself.
And in storyline, he should beat the shit out of him. That's what would happen in WWE. And that's not even to say that WWE would be right to do that. That's just what WWE would do for the continuity. Because even the show that lacks all continuity would be like, well, no, he's been beating the crap out of him for like a month or 2 months now or however long it's been. You know, like.
Agreed.
He would want to beat the crap out of him with that chair. That's and he ended up using the barbed wire anyway in a more brutal way. Yeah. So, like, what the hell? Like,
no, I like the idea of second-guessing himself from tying him up and beating him up. Because I think he didn't want to go back down this dark path that he went down with Kenny. So I think there's something there with that. And, again, Cole betrayed him anyway, so he just fucking... That finish was absolutely incredible. It was utterly incredible finish. And it kind of came out of nowhere, dude. I kind of forgot the tables were there. I was like, holy shit.
Dude, it looked like it hurt for him to wrap that barbed wire around his head, too.
I'm sure it did, dude. I'm sure it did. But yeah, man. So that was our Rampage. So we heard Tony was trying to – he said he was going to get Rampage higher quality matches. So what better than a fucking
– Adam Cole better be off TV for like a month, by the way, after that taking that fall. After taking that spot, sorry. Like, that was crazy.
Yeah, I don't think he's on next week for sure. So normally we'd close our show here, but we had a show on Saturday. We had the AEW Battle of the Belts. We've already covered one of the matches, but it's time to
cover. Belt battle, battle of the belts, belt, battle, belt, belt, battle.
Yeah. So Sammy Guevara defeated Scorpio Sky to regain the TNT championship. Here's what I'm going to say.
Okay, let me just say something. Nothing on this show, except for Marina Shafir versus Sky Blue, sorry, didn't pass the wrestling test. Everything else pretty much was good for the most part.
Yeah, are you talking Rampage and Dynamite?
I would say Rosa versus Rose even passes the wrestling test.
Oh, for sure. I like that match.
I'm saying Scorpio versus Sammy in the ring, I think technically is a good match. However, all of the nonsense of the double turn, this horrible storyline, Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti being impossible to stand right now for some reason. I don't know why. Everyone hates them right now. And I don't know why. I can't put my name. I'm with you guys. I just don't know why it is. We just can't. So, I mean, I know why it is, but no, we shouldn't say that, you know, like,
yeah. And it's just, yeah,
it's so weird. So like, the result makes no sense. Why do you have Scorpio win the championship and be undefeated for like 300 some days or whatever it is?
Yep.
Just to lose to Sammy Guevara after everything that's happened with this championship. You've now basically replaced Cody as three-time champion because you felt uncomfortable with him going off to leave AEW. That's what this tells me, you know, like, so now you have your other three-time champion. They didn't say the first, but they did kind of make a big deal out of it anyway, so it felt that way, you know, like,
yeah,
they did Scorpio dirty, man.
I don't like this. I don't like Scorpio losing. To me, this is an awful storyline. We've been talking about it every week. This is one of the worst storylines.
Oh yeah, Sammy slipped, by the way.
This doesn't really happen that often. This is, for a fact, the worst storyline since we've been covering AEW, and we started covering AEW after All Out. So we're almost at a full year, and this is without a shadow of a doubt the worst storyline. What's that mean? And it's for a fucking title. Scorpio Sky is so incredibly talented. You finally got the title on him. I thought this was an easy way to push Sammy away and then let Sammy actually go feud and do something else as a heel. However, now you have Scorpio drop this belt. The match is such a slow pace for these guys, and it's actually not going well. It's getting, as you were saying, go away heat. And it's just, I didn't want to talk, dude. The kissing on the stairs after was just, like, so cringy, too. Like, it's not even hot. Like, it's just cringy and, like, oh, man, it's just, I got nothing, man. Like, this, to me, this is a bad NXT 2.0 storyline. And that's the way it feels, with the kissing especially. Like, what, we saw them doing that a couple weeks ago. Is that what we're trying to accomplish now? We're trying to make TMZ like they did? Like, bro, come on, man.
37 days.
37-day title reign for Scorpio Sky, man. I'm sick of it, dude. I'm sick of this for Scorpio. And it's completely non-rememberable. He didn't even fucking wrestle with the title. Like, did he wrestle with the title at all? If he did, I don't remember. Scorpio.
He had one defense, I want to say.
It feels like every single time he was out there with Lambert, and Lambert had the other title, this was I don't even think it was going to be a good double turn. Is Scorpio going to get cheered the next time we see him? I don't think so.
I mean, probably, just because if he's booked against Sammy, yeah.
If he's booked against Sammy, yeah, but why are we doing this?
But if he's not booked against Sammy, I don't know where you go with that.
How do we do this match again? Oh, this is awful.
This
really
was the
bad
title that was the opening match of Beach Break, and it was a 5-star match. I mean, like,
this is very upsetting for Scorpio Sky.
What is happening? How did this title in 30, 40 days go from being one of the most important titles on the brand to being a joke?
Yeah. Scorpio literally wrestled one time, and it was the Wardlow match the week after.
That's what I was saying. One title defense. I think that's the one. And it was like kind of screwy.
I just can't help but feel bitter for Scorpio here. And I don't know. I just like the guy a lot. I like Men of the Year. I thought this was a really fresh storyline, and you could have done Scorpio over so many guys. And
I'll
now
be right back.
Yep, no problem. And now this is what we're at. So now we're going to have Guevara and Conti turning heel. I don't know what you do with Scorpio now. Now he's a 2-time champ, and both reigns are really not even memorable. It's kind of sad. His other one, he was at least the first champ, but that title reign really wasn't anything too special because it was the beginning of the company. So I don't know, man. I just feel I feel torn with this. So I'm just going to move us on to the next segment, which was that ROH title, which we already talked about. But yeah, let's get into Thunder Rosa versus Nyla Rose. This was Thunder Rosa's first title defense. We kind of briefly talked about it. I actually thought this went pretty decent. Nyla Rose, you know, I mean, this is kind of their go-to first challenger for everyone, it feels like. So, of course, they're going to do it with Thunder. But this result felt like it was pretty obvious, but that's okay. So when you know the result's obvious, you got to play around with it and have a good match. And I think they did that. This wasn't anything spectacular, but this is pretty solid. The thing about Thunder Rosa and Nyla Rose, they do have some good chemistry. And I want to say Thunder Rosa hit a beautiful monster code red, and that went for a near fall. Nyla then hit some great clotheslines on her. Like, this was all going very well. I think the inverted jackhammer by Nyla is a big pop.
Yeah, that's a cool move.
And it always gets a good reaction. But Thunder Rosa got the win with a hurricanrana into a cradle. And then she went out into the crowd to celebrate with everyone. So,
Cowgirl Thunder Rosa, bro?
Yeah.
Bro.
It works. And I am very curious to see what they do next for Thunder Rosa. I really think Layla Hirsch was going to be the next challenger. And now she's hurt. So I don't know. We
can- that Code Red looked incredible, by the way.
That was so beautiful, dude.
The size difference between them, I thought that was going to be difficult, but it was good.
They pulled it off, and it worked really well.
I think both men's matches got more time, though, which annoys the shit out of me, but whatever.
Yeah, this one got a little bit of time. I'm trying to think of who our next challenger could be. In the rankings, you got Nyla Rose, Serena Deeb, Anna Jay, Jamie Hayter, and Marina Shafir.
If Jamie Hayter does get knocked out of the tournament, maybe her.
Yeah, that would be nice. I'd be down with that.
It wouldn't make much sense, but so I think that happened with the last tournament.
So, I mean, here's the thing. I like our women's champions right now. Jade, I think, still technically is presented as a bigger star, which is a little funny considering Thunder's got the world championship. But I don't know. I guess
there part of me is getting a little concerned. It might be that you should have put that title on like Soho or somebody like that, and maybe Jade should have won the world title.
Oops. Yeah, Jade feels like such a big star.
I'm sure when people first heard me say that as my reasoning for disliking Jade being TBS champion when it first happened, being that they were probably like, "What the hell is he talking about?" Now you understand why, because this is so awkward. Like, can you imagine if the finals of that tournament was Thunder Rosa versus Ruby Soho, bro?
Dude, it's without a shadow of a doubt that the two biggest stars in the company right now are Hangman and Jade. Like, that, they are presented as the biggest stars. Thunder Rosa feels like a good champion. There's nothing against her. But I don't think she's going to get on the star level of Jade. Not in this title reign. It's going to take some time if she does. But no, this was good. Battle of the Belts. It was Battle of the Belts again. I do find it funny the ROH title stole the show, and it had the least amount of time. Yeah, ROH title had 9 minutes, so.
But it was perfect. If it was long, I mean, it could have been longer, like I said, but it was perfect. Like, it did what it needed to do.
So yeah, let's talk about next week's matches. We got six matches on Dynamite plus a segment, and two matches already on Rampage. So
I like when they announce Rampage stuff on Rampage. That feels cool.
I do too, man. I really enjoy it. So, Owen Hart, men's tournament qualifier, Kyle O'Reilly versus Jungle Boy.
Nice.
We were talking about wanting to see Kyle in singles action. Owen Hart, women's tournament qualifier, Britt Baker versus Daniel Camella, which is WWE, NXT, and she never debuted on SmackDown, but she was supposed to be on SmackDown. Vanessa Bourne. So, good for her. Should be cool. She always had a cool character, I thought.
Could be one of those random roster additions or just a dark person.
Yeah, or maybe... an ROH tester here. Trying to build something there. Wardlow versus...
That title still isn't even there. I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, Wardlow versus The Butcher? Cool. I've been enjoying the Butcher matches, and I'm glad seeing Wardlow back on TV.
Yeah.
This is, by the way, on 420 Dynamite.
Are we getting Joey Janela, bro?
Man, I miss Joey. CM Punk versus Dustin Rhodes, which we talked about. Hey, man, let's go. I'm down if Punk has a great match again.
Tony Khan does a drug testing segment? No.
Do we finally... So it's going to be April 20th, and Double or Nothing, I believe, is May 27th. Is this when they
start... Bro, give me a segment of Joey Janela trying to sell Hook weed backstage.
Or just have Hook straight up smoking. Is this where you start the CM Punk Hangman feud? Is it after this match?
Maybe.
Or do you wait another week?
I don't know. Does it... Where is Dustin in the rankings?
Oh, dude, Dustin, he's not ranked.
Yeah, so like...
No, but the idea here is you're building CM Punk as the contender. So he is improving his rank. That's what he's been doing every week.
I don't know.
Why he challenges Penta, why he challenges Dustin, because he's better than you, and you know it, bro.
Hold up, wait a minute.
But yeah, CM Punk versus Hangman at Double or Nothing is going to be fucking huge. Hook's Dynamite in-ring debut. Cool.
Let's go.
Coffin match, Darby Allin and Andrade. I'd hope that's the closer.
That's going to be death.
That's going to be beautiful. If they give him 25 minutes, bro, let's get a 5-star match next week.
Do it. Give it. Give it to him.
Tony Khan makes another huge announcement. Excuse me. The speculation here is New Japan AEW Super Show. I don't know what else it could be. Maybe it's the Trios.
Buying AAA. No,
you know what I hope it is? I hope it's the Trios title, Garrett.
I hope it's that. That's my hope. That's my fantasy book.
I'm cool with
it. I think it'll probably be what we're talking about.
I'm cool with the Super Show. I'm cool with the Trios title. If it's a TV deal for Ring of Honor and
who the fuck is leaking this shit, bro? Fire them. I don't like that. It's
probably coming from Fightful. Yeah, Fightful has everything now. They're the new fucking A-lister. And Rampage. Oh, I'm already excited for Rampage. Give me Rampage. Eddie Kingston versus Daniel Garcia.
Again, we had this on Rampage a few months back, and you actually did not like it as much as me, nor did everybody else. So everyone's about to be fucking wrong again.
And now, but dude, I think, who do you have win this?
Last time it was Garcia, so I think Eddie Kingston actually might be in a position for once where he could win this match. Okay. I don't think Daniel Garcia loses.
I think Eddie wins this.
Build up crowd powerful a little bit.
What should be the main event? The TBS Championship. Jade Cargill versus Marina Shafir. So I think that match, everyone's kind
of
got the same.
What a shit show of a match. You can't have either of them lose.
Everyone's got the same idea about this match, which means
can they quit booking Jade against people that they have that are undefeated, please? Or like that are like being built up as monsters, because it doesn't work. I'm sorry, it doesn't. You can't have undefeated people face each other. You can't.
I hope this
you can't.
Spot
one of them loses.
This is the spot like, where they go with the baddie section full feud here. Maybe this is where they anoint themselves and after the
Hogan
match
and Velvet like interfere in the match.
No, oof. After the match. Like, ooh. Jade's, like, really celebrating, and they jump in the ring, and everyone's like, oh, no, what are they going to do? Jump Jade.
I mean, if they let them have a good match, I feel like Marina Shafir has been working on it enough that she could probably do it. But, like, I don't know. That match on Dynamite.
I think, well, we know it's Jade, so it's probably going to be, like, 8 to 12 minutes, which is perfectly fine. But I think they can make it work.
Just, I hope so.
They got to have the proper pace here. And
the booking of Jade as opponents as a champion has been a fucking nightmare to watch, though. Like, it's just been like so awful, like trying to predict how it's going to go. Because if they don't go out there and have like a ridiculously good match, like it's going to be
maybe
really
face
stupid.
Ty Conti was still my favorite match. And now I can't even imagine watching those two in the ring again. What have they done? All right. But that'll be it, guys. This was a fun week. We'll be back next week with hopefully some good wrestling to talk about. Hopefully Andrade and Darby Allin, man. That's going to be
good. What are you going to do when CM Punk is pinned by...
CM Punk's pinned by Dustin Rhodes? Yeah, I'm out. GG.
In 30 seconds.
Yeah, I'm out. GG. Let's get the Acclaimed on the show next week, huh?
Yeah, actually, that'd be great.
I'd love Acclaimed on Rampage.
Feels like they had him on every week for a while, either whether it was on one show or the other. And they felt like I want him back.
I'm cool with
them back.
Yeah. So hopefully that the announcements
have them challenge them in the tag titles. LaMau.
Yeah, I'm down. So yeah, guys, that'll be it for us. We appreciate everyone that checks it out. We see the numbers. We greatly appreciate it. Shout out all you guys in France watching this. I mean, hey, we're fucking wrestling fans too, man. We appreciate that. If you guys stuck around all the way, thank you very much. And we will be back next week with another edition of Eat Sleep Elite.
Sports Entertainer. Entertainer.